If we take the rosebud, the rose flower, and how beautiful and attractive it is, and how nice it looks. And when a person is nearby to the rose flower, the rose bed, and around the flowers, the flower bed, you also have the thorns, the nettles, the bushes, and a person puts his hand out after seeing the beauty of the flower, and he becomes so, you can say, engrossed in the beauty of the flower, he doesn't take precaution, and his hands then rub or clash with the nettles, the thorns, and a little prick on the skin. And when he puts his hand forward, looking at the beauty of the flower, to touch the flower, then before the hand reaches the flower, the hand gets injured, gets cut with the thorn or the nettle, it gets pricked, and he breaks the hand, but then due to the thorns or the nettles around the flower, his hand gets injured, the cut, the blood comes out. And this is a unique example I'm giving to you here, a simple example. And it's similar to us, that if we look at the ibadah, the worship that we implement, they are beautiful, they are good in their enjoyment, in the reality, the reward we get for ibadat, for worship. So a person is passionately, with fervor, runs after and practices ibadat, fasting, hajj, zakat, all the faraid, the compulsory actions which have high status, high rank, high reward, and alongside that you have the voluntary actions, the nawafil, ibadat and worship. And when we implement all of the worship deeds, we get engrossed and busy in practicing ibadat, and we forget the nettles, the thorns around the ibadat. Because the ibadat, as I said, are similar comparison to the flower, to the flowers. So what are the nettles and the thorns around the flowers? They are the sins. They are the sins that prick us, that damage us. So we put our hands out towards the flower. In other words, we practice deeds. We do ibadat. We run after ibadat. But we forget how we are getting injured by the sins. How blood is flowing from our bodies. Yes, you can say. And all the enjoyment or the reward of the ibadat, of the worship, we annihilate it. We eliminate it. Just like I gave you the example of breaking the flower, and your hand rubs, or your arm rubs on the nettles, the thorns, gets injured. In the same way, in a person practices deeds, but alongside that, in parallel, he commits sins. Then the taste, the enjoyment, the reality, the status, the rank, all of these things that are associated with the ibadat, with the worship deeds, are wiped away. So what I'm trying to say is that we very seldom look towards the sins. We don't emphasize on sins, on leaving the sins, on shunning the sins. When we implement a sin, we make reasons or excuses. We have our own understanding, for example. We have our own understanding that, oh, this is a small deed. Oh, it doesn't make any difference. What will happen if I commit this sin? It's nothing. It's a minor. It's a minor. What difference does it make to anyone? And we feel, we know that we are doing ibadat, we are worshipping. Oh, I did some other deeds. I did those good deeds and good practice. So it doesn't matter if I do this sin. Just like I said, that we've got the rose. It is beautiful and nice and attractive. But the thorn, the nettles pricked us. It's hurt us. So it doesn't matter how azeem, great is the worship. But if we're not careful from the sins, then the conclusion will be the same. That our ibadat will be wiped out. Our worship will be wiped out due to the sins. Allah Ta'ala has given us a big, big hukm. Big order. Allah Ta'ala has said, مَا ظَهْرَ بَطَنَا. Allah Ta'ala has given the du'as of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, with regards to saving ourselves and avoiding the sins. The dhahiri, external, and the batini, the internal sins. We need to save ourselves. We need to stop. We need to shun the sins. Because the sins, practicing of the sins, it wipes away the good deeds. And because we don't care, or we don't take regard, or we're not careful, we've made our own basis understanding, oh, this is not a big sin, this is not a problem, this is not an issue. Sins, a sin, the definition of a sin is that every action which disobeys Allah, whether it's based on your conduct, your manners, from your tongue, your eyesight, or it's in your heart, or it's outside, it's due to your bodily parts, your limbs. No sin is small. No sin is insignificant. No thorn, nettle is insignificant. The smallest thorn, nettle pricks your heel, your foot, it won't let you sleep in the night. If you put a little needle and you peel away the skin to try to take away that prick of the nettle, little bit of a twig, goes into your hand or your foot, then the peace, it's gone, and you have pain and you have discomfort. So it's shown its effect, hasn't it? So how can a sin be small? How can a sin then not have effect? Hazrat Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi stated that we say sin is small, we say a sin is small, we say a sin is small. How can we say sins are small or insignificant? If due to a sin our deeds won't be accepted, our mu'amalat will be wiped away, our status will be lessened, how can we say a sin is small? For example, we have a burning ember. A burning ember, small burning ember. And if we are not careful, the burning ember, small, 1 centimeter, it will burn down the house. It will burn down a building. We see this every day. This burned down, or this went away, this was destroyed. Why? Because, for example, a wire, there was a short circuit, a little bit of smoke came out, and then the fire came out, and a burning ember then caused the whole of the building to collapse. So that's the root cause, isn't it? So tell me, that how can a sin then be small? How can it not have any effect? This is the issue here. We don't understand. Why is a sin big? Why is a sin dangerous? Why? For this reason, that Allah Ta'ala has told us to avoid the sins. And if Allah Ta'ala has told us to avoid sins, to refrain from sins, how can they be small? A sin is a sin. Everything's the same. Allah Ta'ala says, refrain from this action. And we consider it as a small sin. And we know the consequences of a sin. Then the effects of the sin will come into our life. Listen to this. We don't even realize that it's due to the sins that we've got problems. All of the issues and distress and worries in life are due to sins. Mental issues, distress, problems, difficulties, no peace in the heart, no mercy in the home, no barakat, blessings in the home, and problems spreading, our work not progressing, our career not progressing, no sakina, no peace, children becoming disobedient. What is the reason for this? These are disasters of life, you can say. And the root cause of all of these issues are the sins. Are the sins. The sins take effect. The rizq, haram. You take some rizq that's haram. You earn haram earnings. Because many things have come into the boundary and the definition of haram. What are the effects of consuming unlawfully? And we don't see anything physically, but the effects are that we should have total yaqeen, certainty, belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to refrain and leave something. If we practice that action, then there will be a very, very bad consequence of that. Doesn't matter if I'm worshipping at the same time in parallel. Doesn't matter if I think I'm a pious person and I'm engrossed in the worship. But if alongside in parallel I'm disobeying Allah, I'm committing the unlawful actions, then the consequences of that will be shown, will be seen, will be felt. To this extent, we should try to this extent, that just like we try to worship and practice, we should make hard work and effort that this is a sin, this is wrong, I'm not going to practice this. It's not small, it's not big. There's no such thing as a small sin. Any action, don't take the whispering and advice of shaitan. Work hard, make effort, leave the sins. Work so hard to shun, reject the sins. We should not imagine that we should be going towards more sin and more sin. I will give the example of personality, great personality. Hazrat Hasan Thawri, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a great pious elder, pious predecessor, and everyone in the realm of tasawwuf, world of tasawwuf, knows of his name. He's mentioned and written great kitabs. He was a born wali of Allah, great rank, great status. Many mashayikh, many individual scholars, people benefited from his company, people learned asbaq lessons from him. They became immersed in the marifah nenes of Allah due to his company. He was a great wali of Allah, unique wali of Allah, sheikh. And upon his death, after his death, there were events. There are many events of his life and after his death, at the time of his death. I'm just telling you the end point because this is the basis of success. When a person is departing from the world, is he successful? So, in the realm, in the world of tasawwuf, tazkiyah, purification, when we see that somebody's passing away, or they've passed away, and Allah Ta'ala wants to show us how was his life, what was the effect of his life, Allah Ta'ala then shows to his student, a student does dua, he's close to the shaykh, and sometimes in the dream they see that how did the teacher pass away, what happened after the death. These are recorded in the kitabs about the great personalities who passed away. So there are a couple of events with regards to Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, he did dua, and the students did dua, the Hazrat, Allah show how a shaykh, Hazrat, how is he? What happened after death? What rank status did you give him? So one of his students once saw about his maqam, his status, how high was his maqam. And he saw that Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi alayhi, He spoke to him, the student, in the grave. He saw his sheikh and said, Hazrat, how are you? What happened after death? How were you treated? How were you reckoned with? And Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, they said, my situation is very good indeed. And when I was lowered into the grave, it wasn't even the grave, it was like the house in paradise. This was his status. SubhanAllah, you think it's a grave, but I don't even know what is the grave. What is darkness? What is the tightness? No, this is Jannah, it's like paradise. The abode in paradise. So, another student saw him, Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, in a dream. And when he saw him, he saw that Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullah, was in paradise, flying from this tree to that branch, to another place in paradise. Allah gave him wings and he was flying in paradise. He was flying. So he said, Hazrat, you've got this maqam, this status. Tell us, what is this ibadah that you kept on doing, this worship that gave you this status and reward in paradise? We are envious of you. We want to understand this. So as a Sufyan Thawri, they said, ibadat, I didn't do much worship. I wasn't getting any reward for any worship. I had no special deeds. Allah Ta'ala liked one of my actions, that I used to struggle and strive and make effort to leave the sins. I used to consider the sins as the sins. Allah Ta'ala liked this action of mine. And Allah gave me all the muqamat. Allah didn't give these to me due to ibadat, worship, but rather Allah gave me my status and reward in the hereafter for leaving the sins in the world. Once Hazrat Sufyan Thawri was sitting crying. Let me tell you this point now. He was crying a lot. He had remorse and regret. Many events like this. Somebody asked him, Hazrat, Sheikh, it's been a long time, I'm seeing you crying, you're distressed. Listen carefully, brothers, Sufi brothers. MashaAllah, this is the majlis, the gathering of the Sufi, the brothers doing tazkiyah, purification. So I address you because you are pious and good people. I am like the dust on your slippers. But we need to pay attention here that death will not come easy. Death will not be passed. You won't be able to pass the phase of death and the hereafter easily. There's a lot of accounting to come. We'll have to give the answers, and Allah will put forward the scale of justice, and Allah Himself will be the judge. For every part of our bodies will bear witness to our sins. What will be our hal on that day? Tell me, who will come to save us, my brothers? Who will come to save us? Who will come? Every day the news comes, this person's gone hospital, this person's died, this person's passed away. We sit here big-headed, broad-chested, big shoulders. Oh, we're not going to pass away, we're going to live forever. No, from today, think, prepare, plan. Tomorrow's my death. Tomorrow's my death. My last breath may be exhaled anytime. Anytime I may pass away. Am I prepared? Will I succeed? If there's something lacking in our worship, Allah is merciful. But the biggest thing that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like is that I order you something and you disobey. I've defined something as a sin. How dare we go towards the sin? How can I practice the sin? So he was saying, asking Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, why are you crying? What has given you such distress that you are, for hours, for so long, you've been in worry and distress? So Hazrat Sufyan Thawri said, what can I say to you? 5 months I have not been able to do the worship in the night. Let me tell you his status. 5 months I've not been able to. And he was the wali, born wali. How can I tell you the event of how he was born, how he came into the world? He was a great sheikh. And Allah Ta'ala gave him the loss of worship in the night. He wasn't able to practice for 5 months. Let me tell you what is the consequences of punishment, severe consequences. The person's life. For example, when you're ill for a long time and then you get cured, while you are ill, you can't eat, to drink, there's no taste, your stomach's not feeling good, you don't sleep, you can't do nothing. But soon as you become well and you're cured, then all of it's so refreshing, new lease of life comes. Listen to what I'm saying clearly. Have yaqeen, certainty. When a person leaves sins and comes out of the sinful life, he comes into a new life. A new life. He says, this ajeeb, beautiful sukoon and freedom. That he doesn't even have nothing but his light, and he's floating around. Even though he might not be worshipping or praying or doing extra nawafil, but he's light from the sins. So remember, as much as your sheet is white, that as further away from that sheet, you will see the spots on the sheet. When you have a white clean sheet, from far away you can see the dirt. So a person who does dhikr, he's like the white clean sheet. When you do dhikr, you're purified. It's like you put a dirty cloth, piece of cloth in the washing machine, and when you extract it, take it out, it's clean like the new clothes. So my Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah said that you are the dhakirin, you are clean, fresh, pure. You're like in the laundry every day. And from far away your sins will be spotted, easily identified. So we need to be careful, cautious. We shouldn't live in the deception that I've done dhikr and I'm free and I'm forgiven. No, the more our sheet is white and pure and clean, we have to be careful and avoid the spots and the dots and the mud to come in. Which is like, this is a small sin, that's a big sin, I can do this sin, I can leave that sin. Don't make your own standard. So Hazrat Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah said, 5 months. 5 months, Hazrat, my Sheikh stated this event, that he said 5 months he was lost. So Hazrat Sheikh Sufyan Thawri, they said that 5 months I have been devoid of doing the night ibadat, tahajjud, the prayer. And the student said, Hazrat, how does this occur? How has this happened? And Hazrat Sufyan Thawri said that once I was passing by another person who was crying. When I saw that person, I didn't know why he was crying. What was the reason he was crying? So this happens to us as well when we think badly of others. So Hazrat Sufyan Thawri said that when he was crying, this person, I passed by him and I thought for a moment in my heart, this person's showing off, he's got pride. His crying is showing off, he's trying to show his tears and his piety, and he's showing off. And at that moment Allah grabbed me, and Allah Ta'ala gave me the negative consequence of my bad thinking for that person. Is this not the case for us today? Will we think bad of others? My friends, this fact, we have to be very, very careful and think deeply. Ibadat, worship is on its own side. But ibadat will only be accepted when? Just like I give the example of the flower. When you break the flower and you save yourself from pricking the nettle, the thorn, and then the beautiful thorn of flowers come into your hand. And you can smell it and benefit from it, and you'll have no difficulty. So if you worship in a nice way, if you worship in a nice way that there are no sins attached to you, then how beautiful your deeds will become, like that rose flower without the noons and the thorns and the nettles pricking you. So Hazrat Sufyan Thawri said, there was one reason that I thought bad at that moment about that person, and for 5 months I was devoid of the night prayer, the barakat. Brothers, we need to save ourselves from the sins, me and you. The reason, why don't we leave the sins? Why don't we save ourselves from the sins? What's the reason? Shaitan, he whispers into our ears. He whispers into our ears, oh, it's too difficult to leave. How are you going to leave the sins, man? It's too difficult. This is a big whispering of Shaitan. Before we even take one step to shun the sin, he says to us, how are you going to leave cigarettes? How are you going to leave smoking? It's too difficult to leave the sins. Or how are you going to leave looking at the, using the evil eye, or using your tongue in the wrong way? So in advance, Shaitan makes us lead to believe, he leads us to believe that we can't leave the sins. But friends, we have to take the step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He has ordered an action or to leave an action, can there be anything easier than that? Can there be anything easier than that? There's nothing easier in the world than to obey the order of Allah, or to leave the things Allah told us to leave. Allah Ta'ala has not made anything hard for us. Paradise to earn paradise is easy. When Allah orders to do something, then it's easy for us. We can practice it. Nothing's hard. Reason why it's hard was because Allah says that we've left His sight. We've left Him, we've left His assistance. If I say to you, do this, if I say to a child, my son, do this action, and I assist him, guide him, then the child will run after the action, because my father, he's told me, he's ordered me, he'll protect me, for my father's behind me, he's assisting me, helping me, guiding me. There's a power. So if my Rabb, Allah, the Creator, is behind us, the owner of the universe, and He's telling us, do this action, who can stop that action? Who can say it's hard? It's a test for us, and we make it a trial and a challenge, because we prefer hellfire. Because Allah is saying, I'm telling you practice this. I am advising you that I'm with you, Allah says. Practice this deed. Who will stop you make this difficult? Take forth the step and practice this. Who can make it difficult for you? I swear by Allah, sins are nothing. That's all it is. A sin is a spot on the white sheet. We can wipe it away with a clean. How can it be that the human being doesn't leave the sin? If Allah says, leave this deed, Rabb Allah, our Creator, saying, don't do this action, He's with us, assisting us, holding our hand, guiding us. But this world is a test. Allah has given us a test and a challenge in the freedom of this world. Allah wants to test His servant that how does he come into the challenge and pass the test. And when you leave the sin, the veil will come in between you and the sins, and you will not take anything negative with you. So Allah has told us to work hard and struggle. Why? So that He can elevate our rank and status. Otherwise it's so easy to practice Islam and the deeds and leave the sins. So there's nothing hard about leaving sins. It's easy. It's hard to actually do the sin. So there's nothing hard about obeying Allah's orders. There's nothing easier than obeying Allah's orders. So never think or consider it. You know this is Allah's order, that's it, end of story. You don't need to think about it after that. Why should I lie? Why should I go towards the sins? Why should I will leave this and never consider something insignificant? I'll give you the example of something. Whose example have I given? Has a Sufyan Thawri, whose night worship, his tazkiyah, purification, his taqwa, his fear of Allah, the world wide, everyone accepts him as a great wali and sheikh. If you read the events in his life of taqwa, fear of Allah, imagine. And look, mountains, you can say, his deeds were like stacked up to the peaks of the mountains, and just one error. And what happened? What was the consequence? What difference could it make to his deeds? No, Allah Ta'ala showed him, doesn't matter how much ibadah you did, but because of the sin, you get the punishment and you cannot even get up in the night to pray. So such a great sheikh, if this was his result, then look at our prayer. Our prayer is nothing. Our hal is nothing. Our situation is nothing. So my brothers, have courage. Have courage. Just like Allah gives us tawfiq to do ibadat, promise from today that we won't consider any sin as small, whether it's a sin of the tongue, of the eyes, and one other thing. We need to see that who is saying this? Is Mulana Sahib saying this? Is Peer Sahib saying this? Is Imam Sahib saying this? Who's guiding us towards this? Is another man saying this? No. You have to look, where is this hukum coming from? Where is this order coming from? You have to do this action. You have to pray salah. You have to do X, Y, Z. Think for a second. Think for a minute. Who is linked to us? Who is on top of us? Who is assisting us? Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, this sahabi said from this sahabi, from this sahabi, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no human being advising us or telling us to practice or to leave something. Who is ordering us? Who is guiding us? So this shows the proof that these orders, they're coming from Allah and the blessed statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said something, then it's a fact. Then there's no fear, because from behind there's a great power of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why we say, listen. Understand, today we look at the scholarly basis, where has this hadith come from, what's the sunnah, the chain of narration. My friends, the chain of narration is there to give us yaqeen, certainty, and there's no questioning the sunnah than the chain of narration, because it's come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's direct from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can we reject? How can we doubt? So if he's behind the statement, if he's given us the hukam, and Allah Ta'ala has given us the advice through his kitab, so Allah and his Rasul are ordering us, guiding us, giving us the framework, so why do we then deny? Why do we reject? So this is a deception, that for the excuse of the reason of the dunya, oh, if Allah says don't do this sin, go towards this action, we should say no, we're not going to do this. If we're sitting in a gathering, a majlis, we listen to a scholar, Imam Sahib, a khutbah, and he's mentioning a hadith, and we know that these are the sins, then we should say alhamdulillah. That's why speeches are given, khutbahs are delivered, Jummah speech, that's why we ulama scholars travel to give us speeches, to explain to us Allah Ta'ala's deen, the deen that we're not practicing. If we know it's coming from Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the order of Allah, Allah's hukum is this, order is this, we think, oh, it was someone else's order, or Malana Sahib said this, nobody's order. These are the means, the scholars, the speeches that are delivered to get them to our brain to understand that Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have told us this. So the most important fact today, to summarize, is that we need to leave the sins, then we can eat the fruits of the worship deeds, then we can take the flower in our hand, otherwise we'll get pricked by the nettles and the thorns and we'll bleed. So there's no such thing as a small sin. Every deed we can practice, we should take courage and make effort. Me and you from today, totally, we need to make effort to leave the sins. Ameen.